You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferrat.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. It's Food Friday, and one of the most popular and fragrant herbs is finally in season, mint.
You might find yourself consuming more peppermint, you know, in the winter months or on the holidays, but our next guest has some recipes and ideas for cooking with the refreshing and easy-to-grow herb as the spring weather finally warms up.
Joining us now is Rochelle Bylow. She's Senior Associate Web Editor at Bon Appetit and a classically trained cook based in New York. Rochelle, welcome to Central Time.
Oh, thank you. I'm thrilled to be time traveling since I'm on the East Coast.
Well, what makes mint a good herb to get excited about and start cooking with in the spring?
Well, one of the things that I love about it is it's so versatile. You can use it. You often see it in desserts, right? How many times have you ordered that, you know, mini chocolate lava cake or that pudding and you have some mint leaves on top? But it's also really great in savory cooking. You can use it to make a pesto, thin it out with a little arugula or spinach. You can throw it into a salad. It's anywhere you would use fresh herbs like parsley, you can use mint. So it's actually really versatile.
I would worry. I'm a little hesitant to cook with mint in savory things. It seems like it might overpower a lot of dishes. How can I make sure I dial it in enough to taste it, but not so much that it overpowers everything else?
That's a good point. I wouldn't eat a salad made entirely of mint unless maybe I had just eaten some garlic bread before then. But just a little bit goes a long way, for sure. So a salad that I often make at home, actually, is I take some really tender salad greens, like, you know, the spring mix that you can buy in the store. It's mm-hmm. like really tender lettuce leaf, and just break up some mint leaves with my hands. For maybe 2 cups of salad, all you really need is 1/4 cup of mint. And that's just enough to make it taste fresh, but not like you're chewing on an Altoid.
And to be clear, peppermint is different than mint, isn't it?
Well, there are tons of different varieties of mint. There's the ones that we know best are spearmint and peppermint, right? Those are kind of the two varieties that we really know. But if you really want to get a little crazy, you can even buy chocolate mint, which is not brown, but it does have notes of chocolate in it. So there are all sorts of different varieties. Sweet mint, and if you're interested in growing them, you know, the seeds are readily available.
We're mainly talking today about fresh mint, right? How important is that versus a dried mint?
You know, so my rule of thumb in cooking is I use dried spices. I think they have great flavor. But if I'm using herbs pretty much across the board, I'm going to go fresh. I really never use dried mint just because the fresh stuff tastes so much better. And it's really not that expensive, especially if you grow it yourself.
Right. Our producer, Halima, is obsessed with mint. And I asked her, what can you do with mint? And she said, well, everything. And she said, it's also pretty easy to grow, which is something I haven't experimented too much with. But how easy is it to grow mint?
You know, not to use an old cliche, but it really does grow like a weed. If you plant it outdoors, it will just take over your garden. But you can grow it in a pot. In your house or on your windowsill, just make sure it gets plenty of light. It really loves sunshine. So it doesn't have to be in the sunlight the entire day, but make sure it has a good chunk of time when it's in the sun. Water it regularly. And then the other thing to keep in mind is you want to keep harvesting from your mint plant. You don't want to let it go to the point where it starts flowering because that means that the plant has gone by and the taste will be a little off. So all you have to do is just take your fingers and pinch off little bits here and there. And, you know, if you don't have any cooking projects planned, you can use the mint leaves to make a simple syrup and keep it in your fridge for iced tea or cocktails. But you really just want to harvest it regularly so it doesn't get out of control.
We're talking to Rochelle Bylow. She's a classically trained cook, and she's cooking with mint with us today. We've got some recipes, by the way, that she pointed us toward, linked at the Central Time Facebook page. Rochelle, before we get to particular recipes, say we want to experiment. If we want to play around with mint, what kind of flavors does it work well with in our savory cooking in particular?
I think that mint actually has some really nice sweet undertones. So I think that it's actually kind of counterintuitively best with really bitter and spicy notes because it contrasts. So one of my favorite things is to do a stir fry with tons of fresh chilies. I'll use Fresno chilies or Thai hot chilies, throw them in there, and then at the last minute when everything is cooked, whether it's, you know, tofu or tempeh or veggies or chicken or beef or whatever, just throw in a big handful of mint and basil leaves, and it just brightens the whole thing up, and it also helps counteract the heat that you get from the chilies. So while it's good in sweet things, I think it's really, really great in spicy cuisines. You need a little balance.
A lot of people like to go kind of sweet when they're talking about mint. And you've got, you sent us a couple recipes to check out involving syrup for iced tea and also mint for mojitos. Can you walk us through some of the drink applications?
Yeah, definitely. So making a simple syrup is one of the easiest and most satisfying kitchen tasks that you can master. All you really have to do is heat together equal parts sugar and water, or, you know, a little more, a little less sugar, depending on how sweet you like things, and then let it cool down. And when it cools, it's thick and viscous and syrupy. So you can add any flavor that you want to that, whether it's lavender or cinnamon sticks. That would be great in spring or winter, respectively, but you can do the same with mint. And then once it's cool, you just strain out the leaves and discard them, put them in your compost pile. And then you have a minty syrup, so it's a little bit sweet and it's a little bit minty. And to sweeten drinks, all you have to do is just stir a tablespoon or two into your pitcher of fresh brewed iced tea. Or I think one of the recipes that I pointed you to was a pineapple mint mojito, which is so good and so dangerous.
And I think of the mojito, is there muddling involved? Does that help bring out the flavor in a drink?
Definitely. You know, if you make the simple syrup, you're adding mint flavor there. But a great home bartender trick is any fresh ingredient, whether it's fruit or herbs, you want to muddle it before. And muddling it basically just means kind of breaking it up.
Smooshing
with
it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Smooshing it around. You can even use the back of a spoon to do this. You don't have to have any fancy bar equipment. But the more you do that, the more flavor is released because you're kind of breaking into those little essential oils. And plus, it makes you look like a professional. So.
Well, I love buying fresh herbs, growing them, but it seems like one of the problems when you have to buy them, like in the winter, say in Wisconsin, you get one use out of them and then you've got a whole lot of herb left over.
Yeah.
Right. And what do you do with the herbs that you've got left over? Is there a way to preserve them longer once you've cut them?
Well, that's a great question. Well, I think for starters, storing them in the fridge properly is key. Now, everyone has a different way of doing this, I will admit, but I have found that the best success I have with storing fresh herbs is wrapping them very gently in a cool, damp paper towel and putting them in an unsealed plastic bag. And this might be a little precious and a little extra work, but every day I kind of dampen that paper towel, just get it just moist, you know, not sopping wet, and then just put it back in the unsealed bag. And I've had success keeping mint and fresh, more tender herbs like basil or cilantro fresh for about a week with that method. But you can also use it to make a pesto. Again, to Rob's point, you wouldn't want to use all mint because that would be a little too much, but you can do half basil, half mint, or, you know, you can make a pesto with pretty much anything green, even kale or spinach. Throw a few mint leaves in there, the ones that are about to go bad. And actually, that's a great thing to do with mint that's about to wilt or any green that's about to wilt. Just turn it into a sauce or a pesto in your food processor, and no one will have ever known. And that keeps for, you know, a couple weeks indefinitely if you freeze it.
We're talking to Bon Appetit Senior Associate Web Editor and classically trained cook Rochelle Bylow about cooking with mint on today's edition of Food Friday.
And we'd love to hear from you. Have you grown mint before? Any ideas for how to grow it in your own home or your garden? And what is your favorite way to use it now that we're coming into the thick of mint season? Maybe you've got a question about cooking with mint for Rochelle. Well, you can give us a call at 800-642-1234 or comment on some of the mint-focused recipes that we've got posted posted right now on the Central Time Facebook page. You can tell us your favorite way to cook with mint. Call in at 800-642-1234.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. It's Food Friday, and we're picking up our conversation now with Bon Appetit Senior Associate Web Editor and classically trained cook, Rochelle Bailo. And we're talking about recipes that feature mint. It's in time for spring and mint season, and we want to hear from you on this.
Call in at 800-642-1234. Do you cook with mint? Do you grow mint? Do you use it in desserts, in entrees, in drinks? What do you like mint for? What do you like to use it for? Or do you have a question about what you can do with mint that Rochelle can maybe answer for us? Call in now at 800-642-1234. Post on the Central Time Facebook page. Find some recipes there.
And Rochelle, you sent us a recipe that you like from the web, and this one is called Frigola with Green Peas, Mint, and Ricotta. Can you tell us about that one?
Yes. What I love about this recipe is it's basically spring in a bowl. You know, you have your fresh green peas, which thanks to the freezer section in our grocery stores, you know, we can get green peas all year round. But there's something really special about those first spring green peas. And mint and ricotta, those are all really bright, fresh flavors. It's kind of a little bit brothy, so it's a little bit pasta dish, a little bit of a soup, and then you just throw some fresh ricotta on there. Oh, gosh, it's amazing. It's so good. And if you check out, I think you guys posted the recipe on your Facebook page. If you check out the picture, you can see there's not a ton of mint on there, just a little bit like you would throw some parsley on a dish to brighten it up. You can do that with mint. I think there's also maybe a little bacon in there, too, which never hurt anything.
Well, let's go to our callers now. We've got Todd on the line in Madison. Todd, hi.
Hi. I've got a really nice recipe for mint with New York strip steaks.
Ooh, how does that work?
Wow.
Well, it works pretty well. First off, heat an oven to about 4 1/4. Then you want to have an oven-proof pan, okay? Then you mix 3 tablespoons of Dijon mustard, a couple tablespoons of honey, a tablespoon of horseradish, and then about 4 mint leaves, really, really finely diced, right? Really get a really nice chop on them. Mix that up. That's the glaze. Okay, then take your New York strip, heat the pan up really nice and warm, put a dry rub, you know, kind of a spicy dry rub, or whatever kind you like, on one side of the steak. Drop it in that hot pan for about a minute, right? Till it gets crusty. Flip it over, then throw the whole pan in the oven for 8 minutes. At the 6 minute point, take the pan out, put some of that glaze on it, and put it back in for 2 minutes. Take it out, and then as you let the steaks rest, put a little more of that glaze on the top of it, let it sit for 5 minutes. It's really good.
And Todd, I guess the big question for you is, when can we stop by after the show tonight to try this out?
I'm sorry, I'm working tonight, but...
Oh, okay. Well, maybe next time. Yeah. Todd, thanks so much. So, mint with meat, with beef in this case, Rochelle. Any other suggestions or ideas for mint and our meat dishes?
Well, you know, that totally makes sense to me because in... some of my favorite Asian-inspired stir-fry dishes, like I'll stir-fry beef really thinly sliced so it cooks quickly, and, you know, throw some hot chilies and garlic and just tons of lime juice in there and throw mint in, too. So when he first said mint on a strip steak, I thought, what? But, you know, the more I thought about it, the more I was like, I guess I know what I'm doing for dinner tonight. And, you know, one thing he did say that was great about that recipe is he adds the glaze when the meat is halfway done cooking, which is really smart because if you add that kind of lacquered glaze on too early, it might burn. So he's a guy who knows what he's doing in the kitchen.
All right. We'll have to have Todd on as a guest sometime, maybe. Well, appreciate that, Todd. And we're going to go next to Sam calling from Eau Claire. Sam, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, do you have any ideas how you could make essential oils out of mint?
Okay, essential oil from mint. What do you think, Rochelle?
Interesting. I love essential oils, but I've never made them myself. I'm sure you could. You know, I don't have an immediate answer for that, although I wish I did, and in part just for selfish purposes. One thing I have done, this is, you know, not not what you're asking at all, but I've infused alcohols with mint, and so I wonder if the infusion process might be similar, you know, slowly heating up a really neutral oil, so not olive oil because that has a ton of flavor and scent to it individually, but something really mild like grapeseed oil maybe, and heating that up slowly with the mint and then letting it cool down and straining out the mint. Might have a weekend project. I'll try it and report back.
All right, thanks. It's Sam. Good luck. I hope you can find a way to do that. I wanted to ask about tabbouleh, Rochelle. That's one, when I think of savory dishes with mint, that's one that pops into my head. I've never made it myself, I got to say. And look at the recipe you pointed us toward. Easier than I thought it would be.
So easy. And one of the biggest misconceptions about tabbouleh is people think it's a big grain salad. But the point of a tabbouleh is really fresh veggies and tons of great herbs with a little bit of grains in there. It's often made with bulgur wheat, which is a cracked, quick cooking wheat. But the recipe I gave you is actually made with millet, which is a smaller, even quicker cooking grain. Cooks up in about 15 minutes. And then you fluff it, really similar to the way that you fluff couscous once it's done cooking. And then just throw a bunch of fresh herbs in there, lemon juice, salt, and any fresh herbs that you want, and you've made tabbouleh.
We're talking mint today for Food Friday with Rochelle Bylow. She is a senior associate web editor at Bon Appetit. And as long as we're talking tabbouleh, let's talk about some yummy yogurt sauce to put on the tabbouleh. And this is something I often think of maybe putting dill in, but how does mint fit in this picture?
Oh, man. Well, I love yogurt sauce. In fact, it's probably the one thing that I make multiple times a week. You know, I'm always making new recipes, testing things out for Bon Appetit, but that's my go-to, is a really good savory yogurt sauce. And the way to make it taste like a sauce and not your morning yogurt that you're eating for breakfast with granola is to add some really savory ingredients. So I'll add chopped garlic or maybe some sautéed onions that I've cooked down, and then throwing that mint in there, a little drizzle of olive oil to thin it out. Especially if you have a thicker style yogurt, you want it to be spoonable, not, you know, concrete like with your, you know, if you have Greek yogurt or thick strained yogurt. So, and then that's great on anything. You can even use it as a dip for chips, which, you know, sometimes dinner in the middle of the week.
Let's go back to our callers now. We've got Jeff on the line in Toma. Jeff, hi.
Hi. I was going to say my wife grows mojito mint for mojitos, and put the mojito mint in the bottom of the glass, and then you wanted to crush it up just to agitate the mint, and then there's multiple mojito mixes already, which are non-alcoholic. And then if you want to, obviously, if you want to refresh it up, then you can put most people put rum in it, and then like a 7-Up, you know, that type of soda in with it. And I always put, I crush the mint up, and then I put pure cane sugar on top of the mint. Not really sure. I know they do it in Mexico. I'm not really sure what it accomplishes, but it just brings out a more, you know, more vibrant flavor. And like I said, the mojito mixes, you can, you know, kind of do it to taste. I also noticed in a couple of magazines where they substituted the 7-Up or that type of drink with tea.
All right, Jeff, mojitos, a great warm weather drink, Rochelle, or a great winter drink if you want to pretend it's warm weather.
Definitely. And it's, I got to say, it's, you know, 3 minutes to 5 here on the East Coast, so.
Almost mojito time, is that what you're saying?
Mojito time.
Well, what about one area we haven't talked about, just really briefly, Rochelle, but stir fries. How does mint work in stir fries?
Well, the key with adding mint or any fresh herb, cilantro, basil, parsley, to a stir fry is you don't want to add it too early, because you know what happens when you throw those fresh, tender leaves into the pan. They wilt up really fast. It's like when you put a bunch of spinach in the pan and it seems like a ton, and then it cooks and 2 minutes later you're left with, you know, half a cup of spinach. Herbs do the same thing, so you really don't want to add them until the very end, even after you take the pan off the heat. You know, give it one last stir, throw those herbs in. The heat of the pan will help them release all of that fragrance and just get your taste buds ready to go, and they won't be soggy. They'll be perfectly pert.
That's a great tip to leave it with. Rochelle, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm now hungry and thirsty.
That's Rochelle Bylow. She's Senior Associate Web Editor at Bon Appetit and a classically trained cook based in New York. She talked to us about cooking with mint for this week's Food Friday. You can see some of the recipes we've been talking about linked on the Central Time Facebook page.